would abstain from those actions of his people. And as it is written in Sirah books, the fitr and the worry of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how his people can turn away from these evil actions and how they can come back onto Deenul Hanif, onto that path which will be take them towards the worship of Allah, the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have gathered here in order for us to learn and to revive within ourselves the spirit, the effort, the fikr, the worry, and this concern to bring alive deen in our own lives, to bring alive the sunnah of Rasulullah in our lives. And as we're looking forward towards the continuation of this program, and we know that this is the opportunity of where we're going to see the khatam of hibs. A person will be completing the hibs of Quran. This is an opportunity that where we can witness Quran, witness the completion of Quran, young students completing hibs. This is an opportunity where we can sit. And that is an opportunity for us to link ourselves to the Qur'an al-Kareem and to link ourselves to the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We begin our program with none other than with a recitation of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And for this we call upon a very young boy, Hafiz Ahmed Patel, to inshallah render to us a rendition from the Qur'an al-Kareem.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك قوم ضل بعضهم على بعض. منهم من كلم الله ورفع بعضهم درجات. وآتينا عيسى بن مريم البينات وأيدناه بروح القدس ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ماذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله الله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياءهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. صدق الله العظيم.
جزاك الله خيرا وحفيظ أحمد for the beautiful rendition of the Quran al-Kareem. Alhamdulillah, we are not very fortunate that in our midst we have an alim, a great alim. And Mawlana, those who may know of Mawlana's bayans, and when one listens to the bayans of Mawlana Ridwan Qaji, then one will get an idea of the depth of knowledge that Mawlana has. Today, alhamdulillah, we are fortunate that Mawlana is with us and that he speaks, that he will, inshallah, impart to us some advices that will be of benefit to us, inshallah. For this, we call upon Mother Mawlana to end the process to advise us.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks about وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى is two qasams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes qasam normally to explain that whatever is going to be mentioned in the following verses, if you understand the qasam, you yourself will understand what's happening throughout. So the result will be given in the qasam. The first qasam is qasam of day, wal-duha. And the qasam, second qasam is qasam of the night, wal-layli idha as-saja. At night comes over day. Day and night everyone knows. But when a qasam is taken of day, and a qasam is taken of night, the whole meaning changes. What is the meaning? The meaning is, oh you who is being addressed. Either you are such that you are always depressed. And in today's time, the most powerful tool of shaitan is depression. No matter what man has, from the time the child enters school, it's a world of depression. World of depression means you have to be the best. Every success level is rated. As soon as the child enters, he sees 30 people around him. That child understands if you don't come out first, you don't come out second, you are a failure. They are grades. This is grade A. You're not making grade A, you're on grade B. Grade B, grade C. The child who gets every B, he's also sad, why I never got A. The child who got A, he's also sad, why I never came out first. And the one who comes out first, he's never happy because he doesn't know next term who's going to beat me, who's not. He lives in a world of depression. The child grows up. When there is sport, it's a competition. If you're coming out first, you are worried that somebody else mustn't beat me in the next race. And if you are not coming out first, everyone is laughing. That depression continues. When he goes home, you have to be the best from the rest. Each mother wants her child to look the best, wants his child to be the best. If you're playing a game of soccer, which is supposed to be entertainment, enjoyment, but no one's entertained. The whole thing is competition, a match. You are living in a world of depression. The child's youth is spent in this worry. That if I can't make it, then there's no place for me in society. Throughout his student years, he is told, if you don't get matric, if you don't get the pass rate, if you don't get the mark, if you don't enter university, the world got no place for you. Around that boy, there are so many others who are working in their father's shops. I visited one town, I'm asking the boy, what you doing? He said, his father just opened up one shop for him, I must come and visit it. So I went, it was a huge fishing tackle place. So I asked him what you were studying. So he said, I was studying this and BCom and whatever. And all at high levels, I'll make this and I'll get money. On the way there, my father said, hey, open up the shop here and make enough money. He left everything and he said, I'm earning so much now. All a lie. But one story, that if you don't get the grade, one man ended up on looking for a job, because when we were young, we were told, without matric, your rosy will never come. Everyone, from grade one, the whole thing is you have to get matric. Matric is the beginning of sustenance. Every person has it. This is a world of depression. No one ever looked up and saw. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, trust Allah. And you will see sustenance come to you like it comes to the bird. And see the bird. Every day when the bird leaves, it comes back to its nest. You might think how the worms can hide themselves, but the bird finds its sustenance. Every man who passed in this world, sustenance found him. No man died because he never had food. Yes, many died because they overate. They ate and they ate and life comes to an end. But then worry. So this man reached a certain place looking for job. Because in job, he said, boss, you got any job? He never even know the language properly. So the man asked him, what can you do? He said, I can do a lot. I can work. I can clean toilets. So the man said, you have some toilets here. You want to be a janitor? No problem. Clean. He took his scrubbing brush. He took his polish, whatever he did. He cleaned the toilet. He did a good job. The man was impressed. He said, you got the job. Just sign here. So when he looked at the signature, he said, my friend, I don't know how to sign. I can't write. I can't read. I don't know English. So the man pulled it back. He said, you don't know English. He said, you can't sign. He said, sorry, no job. He said, but what's my signature got to do with cleaning toilet? Clean toilet, you scrub. He said, this is the law of the company. You can't sign. Sorry. So he left. When you said, and you learn a lesson from your wadduha wal layli idha saja. Wadduha means sometimes in life you see daytime. Daytime is everything is going well. You coming out first. You the best in the class. You the best in the house. You got lovely. You got married. You got a lovely wife. You got lovely children. Wadduha. The job is good. Everything is going good. But wal layli idha saja. Normally then when difficulties come, then you see man going in depression. One child, you had four lovely children. The first child is also lovely. But because there is a certain sickness in the child, the mother and the father go into depression. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى Allah Ta'ala says, during the day, be prepared for the night also. That when the night comes, you don't get shocked. You say, I never knew this is going to happen. I never knew I'd lose a job. I never knew the rand will become so weak one day. I never knew the price of petrol will go so high. I never knew that I was earning 15,000, but I was spending 16,000. I always thought I'll make it. Then I lost my job. Now I never paid for the house. I never paid for the car. Living on debt. Why? وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى Allah Ta'ala said, during the day, don't be a fool to think it's always going to be day. Nighttime has to come. The same time Allah Ta'ala said, when night time comes, every man at night, he's scared, he puts on the alarm, he locks his doors, but when he puts his head on the pillow, he knows tomorrow is going to be day again. Night never remains forever. Just like how you're convinced that day has to come after night, Allah Ta'ala says, after every difficulty, ease has to come. This world is a collection of ease, and it's a collection of difficulty. Whoever forgot that went into depression. So the man never got his job, he's depressed. As he walked out, he's walking by the waters, by the shore. He saw one boat going into the water. He said, you got job. So the man told him, what can you do? He said, I got muscle. Whatever work you want me to do, I'll do, but I can't sign. He made it clear from the beginning, I don't know how to sign. The man said, what signature got to do? Jump on the boat. He started working, he's a hard worker. Rosy sustenance comes to every person. But barakah comes with hard work and with honesty. And that is what the world doesn't have. A man gets a top job, but laziness is the first thing. Everyone wants to sit. I'll be the boss. I'll play on my computer, press a couple of buttons. No one wants to work. And honesty, honesty in time, honesty in wealth, barakah comes with this. So he had that muscle. He worked hard. The man became happy with him. He gave him a higher job, gave him a higher job. After a while, the man told him, you served so well, I'm giving you your own boat. He took the boat, working hard. He got the customers. He created his own environment. He started buying more boats. And people from his country who were coming in, he told them, you take one boat, you take one boat. He became a boss. Now he had taken over the whole harbor. He was running his boats out. When the country noticed the amount of work he's doing, they said that so much he did for the country. He's running the whole harbor. We must appreciate his services, give him some gifts. So they had a function. In the function, the mayor is speaking about the barakah, the blessings. Non-Muslims, obviously, speaking of the blessings of hard labor. Just look at this mayor, and he comes from another country. He doesn't even know anything much of this country. But hard labor, look what he has done for all of us. So they had a huge check for him. On the check, it's written so many hundreds of thousands of rand, but they make the check big. So then they put the check, then all the pictures are being taken. Now they give him a paper, you must sign. If you took the check. So he looks at the signature, he says, boss, me no know English. I don't know English, I don't know how to sign. The mayor got shocked. So the mayor held the check back. He said, you mean you don't know how to sign? You can't write. He said, can't write. He said, you achieved all of this here and you can't even write. What would have happened if you knew how to write? He said, if I knew how to write, I'll be cleaning toilets today. My sustenance would have been there. I signed one check. If I had given the first thing, he said, I'll be a janitor. Sustenance comes from on top. The whole world looks for it here at the bottom. Happiness comes from on top. So many boys you meet, they ask you, make dua. You say, what dua? It's either you say, make dua, I must find a girl. Because to find girls are very easy. In school, they're all over. This one's number, that one's number, that one. But to get married is not easy. In getting married, you can go for tea and samosa to 20 houses. That house, you see, we'll get back to you. That house. And the best answer to tell a boy no is my istikhara never work. No girl makes istikhara, no boy makes istikhara. It's hard. There again, depression sets now. The boy finished faith for one of his life. Where he had to be the best. How much of depression? Living in depression. It was never happiness. Now he comes into phase two. To find a girl. Again, it's depression. Because every time a girl says no to you, the boy thinks that there's something wrong with him. When a girl is told no to, she thinks there is something wrong with me. So the level of success and failure is based on yes or no. Whereas if a boy doesn't like a girl, it's because Rosie has not written that girl for that boy. That really hasn't been written. But because we never understood, it happens from on top. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his cousin was Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha. There had to be a whole system change in Arabia. The people of the Arabs understood that your stepson, meaning your adopted son, is your real son. So there was an adopted son, Zayd radiallahu anhu. The custom was your adopted son is your real son. Allah tabarakallah wanted to break the custom. To break the custom, it meant that the adopted son was going to show the world that I am the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not his son. So the first thing Quran came down, that do not call him anymore Zayd, the son of Muhammad. He is not Zayd, the son of Muhammad. He is Zayd and the son of his father. From here you learn a lot. Many a time a boy, a girl and boy separate, divorce takes place. There's a lot of ill feelings. The first thing the mother does is to try to make the child forget the father. Quran said, you can't do this. He was Zayd, the son of Muhammad. Allah Ta'ala said, you're not the son of Muhammad. Zayd radiallahu knew his father, bin Haritha, but he was hurt. I want you to be the son of Muhammad. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabarakallah in honor, one Sahabi's name is mentioned in Quran, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ. If you took out the name of Muhammad from your surname, I will put your name in Quran. He was given that honor. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a proposal to his cousin. Her name is Zainab radiallahu anha. She thinks the proposal is for her to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She gets so happy. Depression sets sometimes when your hopes reach the sky, and then you don't get it. But when your eye is on taqdeer, you are able to make a lot of sabr, and depression never comes. So she had such hope that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants me to marry him. So she sends a brother immediately, I am ready. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the brother that not for me, but I want her to marry Zayd. There was nothing wrong marrying Zayd, but Zayd was not Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So her hopes were so high, because it never reached there. Many a time, to come out second in school, there's nothing wrong with it. But because your hope is first, so you're never happy. To get 80%, there's nothing wrong, but your hope is 90. Whatever man gets in this world, Rasulullah said, whenever you get a favor of Allah, then take your eye and look at the one who hasn't got that favor. And you will understand, I got a favor. When your lovely car comes, but it's a Toyota 99, 98, 97 model, it's a car, but it will still take you to Durban. But because you're looking at the 2012 model, so you look at that car and you feel shy to sit in. So what you do, take that old Toyota of yours into the place where there's no car. And look at that child every morning waking up and walking that distance to get the bus, to get the taxi. And as he's going like this here, then he jumps in the taxi, all squashed. When you will see that, you will say, I got a car. But because our eye is high, and when you don't get that there, there's depression again. Zainab radiallahu anha, however, had eyes on taqdeer. So when she heard that it's not for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's for the adopted son, her heart broke. And Allah tabarakallah reveals verses of the Quran, that when the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for something, did the believers even have a choice in the matter? He immediately said, we got no choice. He told her brother, I am ready for the nikah. Although she was not ready for the nikah. But look at that iman and the understanding of taqdeer. She entered that nikah. In that nikah, things were not going right. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Zainab radiallahu anha, you marry. And Zaid radiallahu anha was told, you marry. The mashwara came for both parties from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn from here, many a time when the nikah is going to take place, you say, let's phone a sheikh. Because we don't know how to make istikhara, so we say, sheikh will make istikhara. There's no story like that ever. There is no sheikh making istikhara. One friend phoned me, he said, can you make istikhara for me? I want to marry this girl. I said, no problem, I'll make istikhara, but then remember, I'll see your wife in my dream. Wow, Masih, I said, in Parada, your wife it is. Then I explained to him, istikhara got nothing to do with asking for dreams. Istikhara means talabul khair. Oh Allah, I ask for goodness. Finished. Sahaba radiallahu anhu made the dua of istikhara whenever there was a need. They said, as we read Surah Fatiha, we made the dua of istikhara. We only make istikhara once a lifetime. Because our process is a very hard istikhara. We can't sleep at night, we must make wudu. We never ever make wudu at night, but then we make wudu. And then for 7 nights, I mustn't talk to anyone after my wudu is made, my dua is made. Your mother says something, you don't answer. Daddy says you want coffee, no answer. Because I'm on istikhara at the moment. Now 7 nights carrying on. 6th night, I forgot to make it. I said, oh ho, I have to start the whole process again. There was never anything like this. Now you're waiting for dreams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in your dream, shaitan has a entry. And your thoughts have an entry. And Allah tabarak ta'ala has his entry. Meaning your dream can be one of three, but you'll never know which one it is. In your mind, shaitan got his own road. It is called takhweef, meaning shaitan. You want to marry that girl. So shaitan doesn't want you to marry the girl. So he'll also come in the mind. He'll say, no, no. And your thoughts, that's why istikhara, is supposed to be talabul khair, dua of goodness. Because you're thinking of it during the day, you dream of what you think of at night. Because as your soul moves in that alam, in that world, of examples of what's going to come, so your soul tries to pick up. Now because you were thinking of something, your soul picked it up, it has it. It has it, but it doesn't understand it properly. Behind it is shaitan, he's also running. He doesn't want you to pick up the right thing. And the third is Bushra min al-Rahman. Bushra min al-Rahman comes when man is in difficulty. When things are not going right, Allah tabaruk ta'ala then to give encouragement. He shows him a wonderful thing. Sometimes he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he sees Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. To tell him, I also went through difficulty, you also. I survived, you survived. Allah's help comes when there is difficulty. Bushra min al-Rahman comes when man is going through difficulty. But the other two now, you're making istikhara, talabul khair. Oh Allah, if there's goodness, let it happen. That's all you ask. You never said, oh Allah, I want a dream. Because Allah does not speak to people through dreams. He speaks through Quran. And now you're waiting for your dream. Dream's not coming. Now shaitan knows you want the dream. And your thoughts are waiting for the dream. So one person came to me, he said that my son wants to marry this girl. So I told him, very good, make mashwara, make istihara. Mashwara means with people. People will tell you. And istikhara means ask Allah, if there's goodness, let it happen. If there's no goodness, let it not happen. Finish. But what we do, we make mashwara with Allah. And we're waiting for the answer. Answer's not coming. Mashwara was with the people. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever makes mashwara, and then he asks Allah for goodness, and he goes ahead, he will never see depression. But what we understood, he will never see problem. Problem the whole world sees. Everyone sees problems. This world is wadduha. Sometimes it's daytime, sometimes it's nighttime. So to end on that point, before I come to the dream part. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Zayd radiallahu anhu, marry Zainab radiallahu anhu. He told her, marry Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was the sheikh of both parties. He was a man who spoke only wahi. But the marriage never worked. From day one, the problem started. Zayd radiallahu anhu is coming, he's saying it's not working. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes sabr. Zainab radiallahu anhu is complaining to her brother, we're not compatible. The sheikh was who? The words were who? Taqdeer is something else. That Allah Ta'ala wants sometime something else to happen. A time came finally when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Zainab radiallahu anhu, Zayd radiallahu anhu, make sabr with her, she's my cousin. He said, I'm trying. Finally he couldn't. And he gave a divorce. Zainab radiallahu anhu is crying. Divorce among the Arabs also was not a small issue. She's crying on one side. Zayd radiallahu anhu is so upset. Because how are you going to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I divorced her. I know it's your cousin. I know you never wanted to. But it wasn't working. She's crying. He said, Quran already come down. And what Allah tabarakallah wanted to happen has happened. That Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is now told that your nikah has been made with Zainab radiallahu anha in the heavens. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters her room. He gets shocked. She goes into farda. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the nikah has been made by Allah tabarakallah. He says, what? He says, Allah wanted to show the world that an adopted son is not a real son. So you are not my daughter-in-law. You are the wife of an adopted son. Normally a son's wife is your daughter-in-law. You can never marry her. The people, the Arabs in wild, they started saying, Muhammad has married his daughter-in-law. Rasulullah would read verses of the Quran that an adopted son is not your son. Zainab radiallahu anhu goes in a world. He says, Allah wanted to use me to break the custom of the Arabs. A waqiyah was going to mention in Quran till the end of time. Zayd radiallahu anhu's name was going to be mentioned at the end of time. The custom was going to be broken. And she says, my nikah was made in the heavens. But her eye was on taqdeer. That after every difficulty again comes light again. Sometimes you say this marriage, what was the benefit? That sheikh said marry. He said he made istikhara, it was positive. He's a liar. It never worked. Problems, you're running away from problems. You say, look at the barakah. One child was born. Who knows, maybe one day that child will be the flag bearer of Islam. Without that union, that child could never have been born. Man never knows, but the eye is never there. It's Imam Ashraf Ali Thani rahimullah said, man kana nazruhu ila majari al-qala. The one whose eye can be on the arch of Allah where all decisions take place. He will not waste his life fighting with the people also. You get irritated sometimes. The thing never go how you wanted to. You took a proposal, you really thought they're going to say yes. Last minute they broke your heart, they said no. For life you don't talk to them. If your eye is on the arch of Allah, you say when you never wrote it, the whole world could never make it happen. Forget that one auntie. The world could never make it happen. So that dream now, you're in that dream world, waiting for your dream. Dreams also bring depression. Because you don't know where you're going. So the father came and said, now my son wants to marry the girl. I said, make mashwara, make istikhara. He said, that's the problem. He said, we made the mashwara. Now we made the istikhara. In mashwara, we got two sides. The one side says, we think it's good. The other side says, we don't. And the other group said, I'm quiet. That's how mashwara is. How can a person tell you? My one friend, when someone asks him, good boy. You see, on the outside is good, but what happens under the covers, I don't know. Because we don't know what's pressing on the button at night. When that boy puts that cover over his head, in class he was reading Quran so well. But when the covers come, what happens with WhatsApp? Who knows? No one knows. If you look at the outside of the boy, he looks good. Mashwara. And you trust. Now you made istikhara. He says, that's the biggest problem. He said, my wife, he is the mother of the boy. She made istikhara. And my son made istikhara. My son in his istikhara saw he and the girl were holding hands. My wife, the mother, she saw in the istikhara the girl was throwing plates at her face. Now it's the problem. Now do you marry or you don't marry? Oh, that's the question. Why? No takbir. That you ask for goodness, you never ask for anything else. So I spoke to the boy. The boy wants to get married to the girl. You digress now for a few minutes to understand one point. May Allah Ta'ala put it in our hearts. It's a group of youngsters, it's a group of old people. Everyone is going to be a father one day. You see, desire comes from the age of about 12 in a boy. Today with WhatsApp, it might enter on the age of 10 already. So never say your child is too young. From the age of 12, he knows more about that world than even you know nowadays. If you know what's happening in the world of technology, it's all shown. In the school, they teach A-level, what they call compulsory sexual education. The reason of teaching it is to make the mind prepared to understand what's happening on the internet. That boy, once he's 12, he's in that world already. Your child now, you take him from school where he's surrounded by girls. And you bring him onto a level where you put him in matric. And then he goes into university. He's surrounded by desire. The internet is desire, WhatsApp is desire, Google is desire, everything is desire in every magazine. The amount of adultery that is open today, Rasulullah SAW, from the followers means the elite of the Dal, will be two groups. The elite means they will be controlling the world. So the one group will be the people of riba. Al-ashara bi isna ashara. That you will be giving them 12 for 10. Riba, interest. In the banking world will one day control the world. So sitting at the top of the bank, they are the elite of the Dal. That was understood. When he said a system of interest will hit the whole world, you can't beat it. They are above you. They will control the resources of the world. They'll control the militaries of the world. They'll control the news of the world. What riba? They will have power over the whole world. The other one that he then said was, and the people of zina. The people of zina, normally you translate as prostitute. But a prostitute is never elite. Because when you drive past those roads and you see the prostitute, she's also begging for 20 rand. How was she going to control the world? But here he was not speaking of the prostitute on the streets of Africa. He was speaking about the international prostitute. That woman who was going to show her body on international media. She was going to be the Hollywood star. Every move of hers, every pregnancy of hers, every walk on the beach of hers was going to be taken snapped off. She was going to be put onto every newspaper, in the mind of every child, in every movie. Her filthy, filthy prostitute actions were going to be shown to the world, and she was going to be collecting millions because of it. She was going to be the elite of the Dal. Nabi Sallallahu said it at such a time where the world could never understand, how can a prostitute be the elite? How can they control the world mind? But he was explaining a time where it will happen, and it's happening today. Every magazine, the boy's love is for that woman. The old uncle is interested in the woman. The young child is interested. She walks on the beach, the picture is taken. Her holidays picture is taken. Her pregnancy picture is taken. Everything, she was going to control the mind. Your child is living in that era. You know it also. That child reaches an age where he says, Daddy, I want to get married. So the first thing we say, how can you get married? You're not old enough. That child was old enough from the age of 12. But what you mean, you're not earning, that's what you mean. So that we understand. The boy is not earning. But remember, marriage got nothing to do with money. To explain that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam married Aisha radiallahu anha at the age of 6. But he only took her home at the age of 9. In that 3 years, she matured as a married woman, although she never stayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A child can mature so fast when the child knows they have to do. How many girls we know? They don't know how to make an egg, but they are already 20 years old. But the day the boy says, I'm sending a proposal, the next day mommy says, come in the kitchen quickly. I want to teach you how to break an egg. She's supposed to learn from the age of 6, but she can't. Why? Because her mind wasn't there that I have to get married one day. That same girl at the age of 12, you tell her that I'm already looking for proposals. At the age of 13, she'll be ready for marriage. You don't understand it, but it's real. But we don't prepare our girls. We always, you're too young, he's too young. And he's also married at the age of 6. For 3 years, he left her in the house of her father with the mind, I'm a married girl. She would now not play toys as a girl. She would do things as a married woman. 3 years later, at the age of 9, she was ready to become the teacher of the entire ummah. The age of 9. She had 9 years with Rasulullah after that. But she entered as a mature girl. And in that 9 years, she learned half of Islam. Meaning the half of the knowledge of Islam came from Aisha radiallahu anha. Your daughter, from the age of 9, can be ready. You got to put in her mind that you created to get married. You created to be a mother. She'll learn it. Now the boy comes and says, Daddy, want to get married? You say, you're not young. You're too young. You're mad. But what you don't understand is when the boy is telling you, Daddy, I want to get married, he's not worried about the money. He's telling you, Daddy, there's a girl in school. We are already doing everything. That one fear we got of zina that's stopping us. You put me with her. So you say, no money. Only 3 more years make sabr. The boy can't make for 3 days sabr. He's speaking to us. He said, give a dua. I can't control myself. You speaking 3 years. That girl can't manage. The boy can't manage. You in another world. So Nabi Khansam said, when a suitable proposal comes, don't ever turn it down. He said, if you turn it down, there will be corruption in the world. The corruption we're seeing today. That boy is in school, the girl is in school, you're putting them together and you say, no marriage. What are you going to do then? So what we say to the father, get your son married. And we say to that girl's father, get your daughter married. But you keep her in your house. We say, no, Gujarati custom. Once a girl is married, she must go out. No custom in Islam. Keep her in your house. She still wants to become a doctor. It wasn't good, but you wanted her to become a doctor. At least she's now married. And that boy is married. He wants to become a lawyer. Never mind, let him go to university. He'll go to university, he'll meet her. She's his wife. She'll bring some eggs and sandwiches for him. She prepared it there. In university, they have lunch together now. And you save on sex and he'll come pick up. He says, we go to university together. He'll bring her back home. She stays here. You stay, we laugh. But this is real. You want to save zina. So the father told me, my son wants to get married to this girl he met at university. 3 years they're going out. So I said, so what's the problem? He says, you know, that girl is not a good girl. I said, what? He said, she came the other day to the house. She never even had a scarf. Now my wife looked at her. She got shocked. She said, what is this? But you put your son in university. So I spoke to the boy, then I called the father, I said, let me explain to you, this is my mashwara. I said to him, you see, you sent your son to a university where you knew there was going to be girls like. How many girls? In that environment of university, he fell in love with this girl, this thing is carrying on for 5 years already. Now you suddenly want to tell him, take your heart away from her, and I'm going to get you married, and she had a cousin in India. And the boy is complaining. That one India girl is not for me, he said. Then they showed me the picture. He said, I don't want her. She's wearing the clothing. I don't like that clothing. So I told the father, you see, your son, you grew him up in the love of French fries and sausages. You never taught him vegetables and healthy food. You taught him spice. That's it. You put him in a university where he only knows spice. He said, you looked at that girl, you're telling me your eyes were big. But he loved those eyes. He loves that slushy look. He loves that gene. It's not supposed to be, but he loves it because he grew up with spices. He says, she's hot. I said, you're going to bring that simple girl from India. That boy is going to look at her and say, I don't like vegetables. I said, the day they get married, that simple girl will leave her father and mother in India. She'll come to England. That night, that boy will look at her. He will want her to walk like that other one. She can't walk. He wants her to talk. She can't. She never grew up for that life. And then he'll turn around and he'll start WhatsApping the old one. He'll break her heart. He'll break her family's heart. He'll break everyone's heart. I said, now when he's gone so far, bring that girl in your life. Make ta'aleem at the house. And inshallah, you will one day change her. And alhamdulillah, we went to visit her after a good couple of years. And things are going smooth in the family. But finally, he told me, okay, I'm going to tell my wife what you said. But what about the dream? The dream, sorry. He's holding her hand, but she's throwing plates. I said, what you worried of the dream? If you dream, any interpretation works. I said, you just go tell your wife that, you know, the fight normally between a daughter-in-law and mother-in-law is in the kitchen. Always. A fight for control over the kitchen. Who's in charge of the dishes? So this is a Mubarak dream, I said. And your daughter-in-law is actually throwing the plates to your wife. Say, mommy, you keep the kitchen. You in charge. You the queen. You say, what worry you got? You're holding hands. You're in charge of the kitchen. Life is good. وَالضُّحَىٰ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَىٰ. You will see daytime, you will see nighttime. In nighttime, don't get scared. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ. Because your Allah hasn't left you. Allah hasn't left you. How He's with you during the day, He's with you during the night. Every Nabi went through difficulty to see the brightness of the day. Yusuf alayhi salam went into the well, he went into the prison, where he rose. Nabi Salaam had to be stoned in Taif. He had to be persecuted in Makkah Mukarrama. Then he would enter Medina Munawwara as conqueror. Every night gets extra help of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَلْ آخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, oh youngster, you haven't been created to come out first in school, to get highest 100, 100, 100, to get the most prettiest girl in the world, to get that, to get that. He said, you have been created for the year after. Even if you live your whole life, and no one marries you, the day you die, you will have the woman of Jannah around you. Your honor is there, it's not here. But depression is created when we look for honor here. You will never find it. In this world, love smiling. There will be no peer pressure. There will be no depression. There will be, I'm a believer believing in taqdeer. I'm a believer with my eyes on the year after. I will live in the commands of my Allah. And I will die in the commands of Allah. It's Adi radiallahu anhu was caught. No one likes to be caught. You want to fight on the battle and beat the enemy. But he was caught. When you're caught, you go in depression that I'm a failure. They caught me. Now they're going to persecute me. Now they're going to slaughter me. Now they take him to the place where he's going to be cut. He said, you are a failure, you. So he reads one poem. He says, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا. As long as I know I'm dying as a Muslim, it makes no difference whether I die on the battlefield as a martyr or you kill me here. You can call me a failure. I'm not a failure in the eyes of Allah. I die as a believer. As long as you got Iman, you are the greatest in the world. Never let depression help. Hit. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ. Allah says, your after is much better than this world. But man's tabiat is such. He says, I know the year after, but even in this world, give me something. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرَضَىٰ. And your Allah promises you, even in this world, soon He's going to give you so much that you're going to remain happy. Never be depressed. Whatever comes in the world, read وَالضُّحَىٰ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَىٰ. The qasam of Allah on day, the qasam of the night, and the promise of Allah, I promise to make you happy. How can you be sad after that? May Allah Ta'ala keep us always smiling. When we die, we must smile. When we resurrected, we must smile. And enter Jannah, then the whole world will be smiling. May Allah protect us all from depression. Protect us all from being too worried. And let us be happy with our Iman. Fight Shaitan, fight the Dajjal. Stand up as a warrior of Islam. And we will see Allah will take us very, very far. Musa Akudi is late, but I'm also late. I have to get back to Azad well, just for Maghrib, because I got a big appointment there for me. So inshallah, I'll stop now, and we'll appoint Maulana to carry on. Allah Ta'ala grant us all, and Allah bless us all with Quran. Again in Quran, one last point I'll say. See, depression in Quran also sets in. When it sets in, when the boy is doing hifz of Quran, he's given a time limit. I wanted to go now, but because of the thought coming to my mind, give me 3 more minutes to explain this. See, you send your child to madrasa, become hafiz of Quran. Immediately, what it is, how long it takes? It takes 3 months, 3 years. Any day more than 3 years, you are a failure. How much you take every day, boy? I take 1 page. You need to take half page. How can you not manage? After 4 years, you send it in Quran. 4 years is taking you. The time limit is a lie in Quran. There's no time limit in Quran. In Quran, it is life. Why we want every boy to start hifz of Quran when he's young? You see, when you go in school, school is poison. It is created by a shaitani system of education. You might not understand it, but whoever had school without maktab, they were put on the road of irtidah, becoming murtad. They became munafiq. They never believed Islam. Even if they loved the Muslim name, when we met them, they said, I don't like Islam. But we wondered, you went through the school, he went through the same school. But he went after school to madrasa. In madrasa, whether the ustad was nice or not nice, whether he gave sweets or he gave hiding, but you read Quran. That Quran cleansed that filth. That boy who can become, enter the Hafiz class, during his time of hifz, he will put so much pressure on his mind. In the morning he'll wake up for tahajjud, in his life he'll never wake up. Afternoon class he'll be reading Quran, night he'll be reading Quran. If you put a 3-year limit on him, after 3 years he'll say, I'm a failure. There's no limit, but you tell him, as long as you're in school, I want you to be in Quran. Because I'm giving you poison, I want to give you the medicine also. Take quarter page a day, take half a page. After 1 year, do door rule, no problem. Do door for 5 paras. Every sahabi never memorized the whole Quran. But when Nabi Rasulullah left this world, every sahabi of his was a man of Quran. Man of Quran means he loved the Quran. Our boys are becoming hafiz of the Quran in 3 years and no Quran for the rest of their life. That is not a man of Quran. That's got no time limit of 3 years. That's got you at the age of 8, let's start him. But no pressure. Morana won't shout you, I won't shout you. 3 lines a day. He's reading 3 lines so often, so often, so often. Door upon door, door upon door. It takes him 10 years. After 10 years, I have a jalsa for what? That my son was engaged in Quran for 10 years. That's the jalsa. This is Quran. So even in hifz, there's no depression. How long you taking? In hifz, how long you involved? I live in Quran. I'll die in Quran. Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Usmani Rahimullah was writing Ma'riful Quran. You all know Ma'riful Quran is in English way, but to write is not easy to write. And he started writing at the end of his life. Then he became very ill. Now he's looking, so many paras, so many juz are finished. But now I haven't got the strength. So he says, I was so sad going in depression that I started such a work and I can't finish it now. As I was going in that sadness, he said, a thought came in my mind that you were not created to complete Quran. You were not created to finish Quran. You were created to finish yourself in Quran. You were created to finish yourself in Quran. Whether it ends on 16 para, 17 para, you're in Akhirah. You must finish yourself in Quran. That man, we imagine, is memorizing Quran. He says, for 60 years, I still never finished my Quran. You tell him, Mubaharak, your life was spent in Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As-salamu alaykum.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. إن شاء الله I'll be reciting few couplets from the Qasida Burda, which are the words of Allah Abu Siri رحمه الله. Allah سبحانه وتعالى enlighten his qabr with nur. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the effect of this word in our heart so that our heart can be enlightened with the nur of love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi munshil khalqi min adami thumma fa'ala وعلى المختار في القدام مولاي فني واسع أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين والثقلين والفريقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هون من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير خلق كلهم فاق النبيين في خلق وفي خلق ولم يرجع نوره في علم ولا كرم مولاي صل لأسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم نبي رسول حبيب أمين ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فاغفر لناشديها واغفر لقارئها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم مصطفى مجتبى يا رب بالمصطفى فبلغنا قاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم نبي رسول مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق
of Malaika. We are in a gathering of the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending, the Sakina, the peace, the tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descending upon that gathering. And this is only due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For He has indeed chosen us to be amongst those people. It is auspicious because tonight indeed there is one who is going to fall within a sanad, within a linkage, and is a linkage that's going to be created between him and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed when a person completes Quran, then a sanad, a link is created between him and his ustaz, and from his ustaz to his ustaz, and eventually that link leads up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He enters into a fraternity. He enters in an exemplary breed of people, a chosen breed of people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has chosen for this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken it upon himself to protect the Quran, it was only not in book form, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this breed of people, the fraternity amongst us in this modern world of technology and all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the human heart, human mind to protect his kalam, the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen these people to be in this fraternity, and what an honor it is to be chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First in the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to be among the seed that you can carry the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. In the days of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba and Tabi'in, it was a situation that the Hafiz was a person who memorized 200,000 ahadith of Sahad, or maybe 300,000 ahadith of Sahad. A person who by heart the Quran was called a Hamil al-Quran, the carrier of the Quran. Why? He carried the Quran in his heart. For it is something that you cannot remove. You cannot remove. You can take the law out of a system. You can take a law out of an ideology, but you cannot take a law out of the heart of a person. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, first page 14 Juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. And we are going to take that responsibility of protecting it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen these people. So alhamdulillah, Allah has chosen us to be in that gathering where this person is going to now join that linkage, and he's going to complete this Quran inshallah. But before we continue, we are going to start the program with a short recitation from the Quran Kareem, inshallah. I will call upon Hafiz Muhammad Sarikhat, Mullah Yusufan, to come and recite the short verse, inshallah.
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام تلك آيات الكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give us the tawfiq to recite the Quran the way it should be recited, so that this Quran can become a proof for us on the day of Qiyamah, not a proof against us on the day of Qiyamah. We should take the initiative amongst every one of us. It is tajweed, it's not a sunnah, it is a wajib, it is a compulsion upon every ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means to recite the Quran the way it was taught to us, and the way it was taught to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ayah that was recited, just coincidentally, my bayanza on Surah Yusuf, just to talk on about a moment or two on this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك. And the best surahs, the best stories are in Quran because it's non-fiction. It happened the way it really happened because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. And appropriately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أحسن القصص, the best of stories. And it comes in Surah Yusuf. And Surah Yusuf is such a story, it is so sweet. It is so beautiful. It's such a fairy tale, but a non-fictitious fairy tale. It actually happened. And if we can go into the story in depth, and you will understand this. And if we relate this, what Hafiz just read now, in relation to what Maulana Ridwan Qadhi read, spoke on earlier on dreams, and this relates to that, is that Yusuf alayhi salam, from one of the qualities, the sifa that he had, was that he was given an interpretation of dreams. And we spoke on this, that one dream got him into trouble, and another dream got him out of trouble. So where the dreams come in, that's a whole different topic. But how important it is that we should try, one is to try and recite the Quran the way it should be, and to make every effort in understanding what is being recited, so that it can have an effect upon our hearts. If we take Surah Al-Anfal, second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the mu'minun, what are the qualities of the mu'minun? إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being remembered, then their hearts shake in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا. And when these verses are being recited, then it increases them in iman. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq that our iman can increase when those ayat are being recited. We will now call upon Hafiz Yasin Tunara to bring out a short nazm, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
واہ قسمت نبی کے گدا بن گئے ہیں واہ قسمت نبی کے گدا بن گئے ہیں واہ قسمت نبی کے گدا بن گئے ان کی نسبت ملی کیا سچا بن گئے ہیں ان کی نسبت ملی کیا سچا بن گئے کوئی موسا بنے کوئی عیسیٰ بنے کوئی موسا بنے کوئی عیسیٰ بنے میرے آقا حبیب خدا بن گئے ہیں میرے آقا حبیب خدا بن گئے اس زیب قرآن کیا حافظ نکائی حفظ قرآن کیا حافظ نکائی ان کے سینے میں قرآن سلامت رہے ہیں ان کے سینے میں قرآن سلامت رہے ان کے اس تاج حافظ و مولانا یوسف ان کے اس تاج حافظ و حافظ یا خدا ان کا سایا سلامت رہے ہیں یا خدا ان کا سایا سلامت رہے ساری دنیا کے مالو چاہیے دعا یا خدا میرا بیٹا سلامت رہے ہیں یا خدا میرا بیٹا سلامت رہے ہیں اس سے قرآن کی دولت سلامت رہے ہیں اس سے قرآن کی دولت سلامت رہے ہیں ان کے سینے میں قرآن سلامت رہے ہیں شکریہ اے حافظ اس کا رہوں کرتے ادا حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا شکریہ اے حافظ اس کار ہوں کرتے دام حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا دس عزیزوں کے سفارش کا تمہیں مشبہ ملا اس سے بڑھ کر حفظ قرآن کا بنا کیا حوصلہ چل گیا ہے رب سے دس دم آسروں کو آسرام حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا شکریہ اے حافظ اس کار ہوں کرتے دام حفظ قرآن کے لیے اللہ نے تم کو چنا حفظ
That we only have one hafiz completely. Imagine if we had 20, all the names would have had to come in at Nizam. We went until quarter to 8. Subhanallah. The Nizam was a sentiment of our introduction, that Allah SWT had chosen these people. And may Allah SWT bring our actions to coincide with Quran and Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah SWT give the fraternity of the Sufan the tawfiq to remember that we have joined this fraternity now, and to keep that Quran, to keep it going in our hearts and in our lives, and in the practicality within our lives. And that is the important part. Mullah Ridwan Qaji mentioned earlier on that we have it for 3 years, 10 years, and then after that, the Quran has left us. And it is a greater sin. It is a greater sin for us to bahat it and then forget it. May Allah SWT give me first, and all those of us present here, and the rest of the world, give us the tawfiq to remember it the way it should be remembered. That we take this Quran in a cover and on the day of Qiyamah, it be a hujjah for us. As we mentioned, the hadith, Al Quran hujjah lak aw alayk, that this Quran is a hujjah, is a proof for us, not against us. Now with our lecture, inshallah, Mullah Mutakuri has traveled from Binoni. He's the Khalifa. He took bayat to Mullah Mutakuri Khamsa first. And now he has become a senior khalifa of Mullah Zulfiqar Naqshband. Maulana speaks on Radio Islam, on CII. Many people have benefited from the talks, and not only the talks of Maulana, but also the company of Maulana. And you will see shortly the impact from the speeches, from the words that emanate from the lips of Maulana, the impact that it has upon our hearts. And may Allah SWT give us the tawfiq to be in the company of such dignitaries and such people, so that if we do not benefit from the word, at least that smoke, that barakat and that nuraniyat that descends upon us can start spreading upon us. We ask Mullah Musa to come forward and give us the message, inshallah.